Hi, I'm Mike Martindale, pastor here at the Heights Fellowship. We are so glad that you guys have joined us today. We know that online isn't a replacement for the real thing, but we hope that as you listen to this message, that the Spirit of God would still move in your life. Thank you for listening.
It's entitled, It's Personal, that which is the title of the conference that the entire staff went to back in May. And there are some things from that conference that really made an impression on us as a staff, not just the title, but that was a big part of it, because everything that we did at that conference really pointed us as a staff to coming back to the Heights Fellowship and making everything we do very personal and connecting with people and how best we do that, and that we make it not just a corporate thing here, but we make it a relational thing. So we're going to spend 2 weeks thinking about and teaching on that principle, that truth from Scripture about what we do as Christians being very personal. Now, we're going to look at a character this morning that I would call curious but ready. You know, next week we're going to look at a character from Scripture that I would call committed but not ready. And so this morning, as we jump into it, if you have your Bibles or God's Word on any of your devices, follow along with me. We're going to read this passage. It's a very familiar passage. It's a very familiar story. In fact, if you've been in church any length of time, you've heard the story of Zacchaeus, the wee little man. The wee little man was he. And if I was a good singer, I would sing that for you. But so I'm not, and so I won't. But Luke 19, 1 through 10 tells us the story of Zacchaeus. And we're going to base our talk this morning, our teaching on what it looks like to be personal in someone's life and how you do that. Luke 19, 1 through 10 reads this way. It says, he, being Jesus, entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he, Jesus, was about to pass through that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house. And he hurried down and received him gladly. When they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, he has gone to be the guest of a man who's a sinner. Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he, Zacchaeus, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man, Jesus, has come to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, Bob Goff, one of my favorite present authors, wrote a book called Love Does. Some of you are familiar with that. I know some of you have read that book. In that book, he makes this quote. He says, what I've come to realize is if I really want to meet Jesus, then I have to get a lot closer to the people he created. All of them, not just some of them. You know, and that's what this passage teaches us. Zacchaeus or Jesus? Two characters in this story. I think we all, sitting in this room, fit one of the two characters of this story. Zacchaeus was a man who was not liked. He didn't have a job that allowed him to connect with people naturally. In fact, he made people mad. He used people. And then you have Jesus, God, who was perfect. Always treated people with respect. Always treated them kindly. with patience, with love. See, I think all of us sitting here today, under the sound of my voice, we fit one of those two characters. Either we're a Zacchaeus and we've come here to this building today, and we just want to know more about Jesus. We've heard about him. Someone's maybe told us a little information, or maybe we've picked up a little bit of information throughout our life, and we're just curious about who this Jesus is. But then there's Jesus. Now, we can't equate ourselves to being Jesus. But as Christians, those of us who sit here today and are followers of Jesus Christ, who are we supposed to model? Jesus. And so when we see Jesus act the way he acts in this story and respond the way he responds in this story, it should challenge us as followers of Christ to respond the exact same way. And so today, as we proceed through this passage and kind of pick it apart and look at those two characters, you know, if you're here today and you're Zacchaeus, I want you to find out more about Jesus today. I want you to realize that you can come who you are to this place and ask your questions and find out more about him and maybe, hopefully, encounter him here today. And if you see yourself today sitting here as a follower of Christ, I hope you're challenged. Well, I need to act more like Jesus with people. So let's look at Zacchaeus. It tells us in this passage he was of bad reputation. Now you look back at that, you say, Randy, it doesn't exactly say that. But how was he perceived by his culture, the tax collector, the one taking your money, the one using you to better his circumstances by taking more money maybe than he needed to? And he even got kickbacks from those under him because he was the chief tax collector. So he had people working under him that, you know, okay, you can take 5%, but I need my 5% cut too. As his people working for him would go out. So people didn't like Zacchaeus. So the question, if you're sitting here today and see yourself as Zacchaeus, you know, what is it about your past or your present that keeps you from coming to Jesus? Because what we see in this story, Zacchaeus was to that point that he wasn't going to let anything keep him from coming to Jesus. He was curious. He wanted to find out more, get closer to him. And then we see, I've used that word multiple times already, he was curious. He had heard through the town. He had heard through the country. He had heard from people maybe he was taking money from about this Jesus. You know, there's lots of ways you can find out about Jesus. You can come to a service like this. You can ask a friend who you know is a believer. You can get a Bible and begin reading the Gospels and find out about who Jesus is. But yet, in Zacchaeus' curious mind, he wanted more. I want to get close to him. So we see him positioning himself to try to get closer to Jesus. And he overcame obstacles. He was short. He couldn't see. There were crowds all up and down the streets as Jesus passed through Jericho. They too wanted to see him. You know, you may be short like Zacchaeus. And sometimes you have a hard time seeing what you want to see. You may be in a position that, you know, you may have a hard time understanding because you don't have the background. It's an obstacle for you. I didn't grow up in the church, but I've heard a lot about Jesus and I want to know more about him. So how am I going to get there? What obstacle do I have to overcome? See, if you're Zacchaeus sitting here today, you've already overcome an obstacle. You walked in the door. It may have been hard for you. But you're here. See? You positioned yourself so that you could find out more about Jesus. So if that's you, what obstacle must you overcome to experience Jesus? It may be your reputation. Maybe what you've done or what you're currently doing that makes it really hard for you to experience Jesus. And then he became strategic. He says, okay, I can't see. You know, you can just imagine this little guy. I have no idea how tall he was. All we know is that he was short. He was a small stature, and he may have been that guy in the back of a crowd who's jumping up and down trying to just get a glimpse over these people taller than him. He says, okay, I'm a smart dude. There's a tree. Sycamore tree in most cases have short limbs. I can get up where I can see above the crowd. So that's what he does. He just wanted to see him. He had no plans in his strategy to holler at Jesus. Hey, Jesus, look at me, I'm up here. That wasn't part of his plan. He just wanted to see him. So he gets up in the tree and positions himself to get a better look at who Jesus is. So what strategy will you use to encounter Jesus? Because you're probably going to have one. It's not just going to happen. You're going to have to set some decisions in motion that will allow you to get closer to Jesus. And then we see at the end of the story, when the encounter happens, how does he receive him? It says he received him gladly. You see, he was ready. Remember the title of this message? He was curious, but he was also ready. He didn't know that was going to happen. That wasn't part of his plan that day. He just wanted to see him. But now, presented with the opportunity for Jesus to step into his world, he gladly received him. That can be you today. If you've never done that in your life, that can be you. You can gladly say, Jesus, come into my life. Step into my house. Step into through my door. So, will you open the door to your world and let Jesus come in? There's your question. If you see yourself as Zacchaeus today. But then, here comes Jesus. Maybe thousands of people lining the streets. We just know it's a large crowd. But Jesus, it appears he stops. He looks up at who? Zacchaeus. He looks at him. He notices him. He sees him. Thousands of people, but he notices and sees Zacchaeus. So if you're sitting out there and you see yourself as a follower of Christ, do you intentionally have your head on a swivel noticing those people around you? Okay, here's a question. How many people in your section right now do you know you've never seen before? Look around. Just look around. I'm giving you the time. Just look around. See if you see people that you've never seen before ever. Now, those of you who are here for the first time, you're trying to hide. I get that. We're not going to ask anybody to stand or put little red roses on you or ribbons or anything. But see, we come in here, just in this venue of coming to church each week, and you're sitting within feet of people that you probably haven't even noticed are there. But Jesus looks at him. Then he does something else. Jesus initiated with him. He talked to him. He engaged him in conversation. Do you intentionally engage a stranger in conversation? Do you ever do that? My wife does all the time. I'm walking through someplace, and she was right here beside me. And I turn around, and she's back talking to somebody. And I'm going, I don't even know who that person is. She starts up a conversation with me. And, you know, and I'm trying to keep moving. Come on, Mina, let's go. Let's go. We've got to get to the car. We've got to keep on our agenda. You know, we got a plan here. We got to work it. And minus stops, talk to people. That's what Jesus did. Well, you remember what the first verse says? It says Jesus was passing through Jericho. It didn't say Jesus came to Jericho to start teaching. It didn't say Jesus came to Jericho to, you know, have a crusade. It didn't say Jesus came to Jericho to heal people. He was just passing through, it says. But then he stopped. See, his plan, his agenda stopped when he saw Zacchaeus. Are you willing to alter your plan or your agenda like Mina does regularly to have that conversation with people, to find out their circumstances, who they are, get to know them? See, that's one thing that we, me speaking on this topic today, you know, what do we do after the first song almost always at the Heights Fellowship? We greet each other. We call it the welcome or the greeting. Do we ever give you more than about 10 or 15 seconds to greet or engage or talk? No. We don't. So even when you come here, it makes it difficult for you to do what we're encouraging you and challenging you to do. We don't say, okay, we're going to give 15 minutes, everybody in this section, you know, find a new buddy, start talking to them. You know, I say that, and some of you are smiling. I mean, getting some laughs there. But why wouldn't we want to do that? I heard this prayer through I listened to a lot of people in podcasts and read blogs and stuff of people who challenge and encourage me. And I heard this interview done with Amy Grant just a couple of weeks ago as I'm prepping for this message. And the question that Amy Grant said that I've learned to pray, it's really not a question, it's more of a prayer, that she said, I heard somebody else challenge me with this. And Amy said, this is what I pray each and every morning before I start my day. I pray, God, lead me to someone who I need today. And lead me to someone who needs me. See, that prayer is all about relationship. It's all about engaging people. I don't know what Jesus prayed that day before he started, but that was just his character. I mean, he was looking for people who needed a touch from him. And when he got to that point in the road, passing through Jericho, and he sees Zacchaeus. Okay, there's my person. Zacchaeus needs me today. I don't know what Zacchaeus prayed that day, but he may have prayed the first part. I need somebody today. I need somebody today. He just wanted to see Jesus. He had no idea Jesus was going to call him out of the tree, start talking to him, go to his house. But see how when we, as followers of Christ, if we ask that prayer, Jesus is going to put somebody in our path. He's going to answer that. And he's also going to give us somebody that we may need that day to encourage us, to teach us, to challenge us. The key moment in the story happens in verse 5. You know, when we read these 10 verses, we see a lot of things. We know the whole story. But verse 5 has all the key elements of what I'm hopefully challenging you today. Look at this. When Jesus came to the place, boom, he's there. He sees Zacchaeus. He looked up and said to him, two things we've looked at so far. He saw him. He engaged him in conversation. And then he said, Zacchaeus. He called him by name. You know, when I'm normally on a Sunday morning working my way around the building, making sure everything's going smoothly, I run into a lot of people. And I introduce myself to a lot of people of I don't know. You know, what I hate is that maybe it's my Swiss cheese brain at 61 years old, but at 9:30 I talk to them over here and I see them at 10:45 and I go, oh my gosh, what's your name? I don't remember your name, and I really want to call you by name because it will make you feel better. It'll help me remember it if I can call it. So it'll help me engage with you to have further conversation. See, that's the crux, is there. He calls him by name. We need to be better at that. Don't just say hi and welcome during the greeting. Hi, I'm Randy. What's your name? And if you're younger than 61, you'll remember that their name is Bob, and you can call him Bob later. And so it says, he says, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down. You think Zacchaeus got out of that tree pretty quickly? Bet he did. Bet he shimmied down there real fast. It says, for day I must stay at your house. Jesus engaged. He doesn't just talk to him. He says, I'm going to come spend some time with you. And not at the coffee shop, which nothing wrong with spending time with people at the coffee shop, but I'm coming to your house. Oh, wow. I wonder if Mrs. Zacchaeus knew they were coming to Zacchaeus' house. Because things probably weren't picked up quite enough. Because they hadn't planned for it. So you should always be ready to have that open door for people to come into your house. So verse 5, we see it all happening right there. He called him by name. Do you purposefully call people by their name? Do you know them? You know, if we had the time, and we won't take it this morning, which I think would be a pretty cool little activity, is for everybody to turn around. Okay, we've got 30 people in my section. I say 1, 2, 3, 4. I know 6 of you. I don't know 24 of you. Or vice versa, maybe. You know, who do I need to get to know today? But see, we need to get to know people, not just shake hands and smile, which we've been doing since 1999 when we welcome people in church, or perhaps before. We welcome people today, did we? Did we really? And then we see Jesus stepped into his world. He didn't just say, hi, Zacchaeus, glad you're here watching me walk by down the road. Jesus initiated stepping into your world. See, today in our culture, if I meet somebody in the back hall and they say, Randy, I'm coming to lunch at your house today. And I'm thinking, no, you're not. Because I don't have anything there to feed you. Or whatever my excuse might be. See, that just doesn't happen very often. Or if I meet that person in the back hall and I engage them, I have a conversation with them, I find out that they like baseball too, I say, I'm going to let you take me out to lunch on Tuesday, and we're going to talk about baseball. How many of you have ever heard of the Babylon Bee? Have you heard of that? Some of you, you need to get on Facebook and Instagram. You'll see that regularly. It's a parody of what we do in church. It kind of makes fun of us, but it's really true. Well, the guy that started that actually goes to my sister's church. And the last time I was in Michigan at my sister's house, they pointed him out to me. That's the Babylon Bee guy over there. And I wanted to meet him. Well, say the prayer, look up, nowhere to be seen. He's gone. He's a flash. He's out of there. Well, this time, I come into my brother-in-law's Sunday school class when I was in Michigan last week, and I sit down, and they come up to me, and they go, Randy, you're sitting in Adam's seat. He always sits on the back corner because he really doesn't like to engage with people. So Adam walks in. I feel some activity behind me. I'm going, I bet that's Adam. He's fixing to tap me on the shoulder and tell me I'm sitting in his seat. So I engage him. I turn around and introduce myself, and I said, I'm Stephanie's brother. And he goes, I can tell. Okay. I said, I'm sorry I got your seat. He goes, you didn't get my seat. I always set the back corner. In other words, he says, back corner isn't a back corner until I make the back corner. So my first two tries at engaging didn't go real well. Okay? But then he was wearing something that said that he liked baseball. So I mentioned baseball, and oh my gosh, now we're off to a conversation. This is a guy who really doesn't like to talk to anybody. But now we have a basis for engagement. You know, when Jesus looks at Zacchaeus and says, I'm coming to your house today, Zacchaeus is going, shoo, that's on my turf. I'm comfortable at my house. You know, Jesus didn't say I have to go to the synagogue. I have to go to the temple. So we're going to go sit down and have a cup of coffee at your table and have conversation, and I'm going to get to know you. Do you intentionally spend time with people just for the purpose of getting to know them? For no other reason, no agenda, just engaging them because I want to get to know who you are. Shannon Martin, in her book, Falling Free, said the truth is in order to love them, he first had to know them. Now, the reality, that's true for us. Jesus could love them without really knowing them. He loved people that he saw for the first time. I don't think he'd ever met Zacchaeus before. But that encounter of him seeing him, talking to him, engaging him, stepping into his world, all those were actions of love. And Jesus wanted to get to know him because he loved him. Did you notice in verse 7 that not everyone is excited about the encounter? Now, what we don't get to know there is who is they? It's always a good question. We hear that all the time. Well, they said this, they did that, they encouraged me to do this. Who's they? Well, the scripture says when they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, he has gone to be the guest of a man who's a sinner. And that's not a question. It's a statement. Man, can you believe that? Jesus is going to his house. We've got to get on. You know, if it's his disciples, if that's who they is, they need to see this as a lesson. And probably some of them were the ones grumbling. Well, come on, let's go. We got lunch to go to. Don't stand there in that church auditorium and talk to people and get to know them. Come on, let's go. Got to get out the door. I'm sure their disciples were, or his disciples were part of they. There also could have been those who just, you know, we don't like Jesus. We don't like what he's doing. He's going against our religion. We don't like that either. Surely he can't hang out with sinners. He should be hanging out with all the religious people like us. I'm not sure why they were grumbling. He's doing exactly what he came to do. But yet it ruffled feathers with some people. And when you start taking steps to do what I'm challenging you to do today, it's going to ruffle some people because you're not on their agenda. You're not on their plan. It may be your family. It may be your spouse. Maybe if you're trying to engage people at work, it may be, you know, somebody's boss says, well, get back to that computer. Don't be trying to get to know. We don't want any of this chit-chat going on. And then the last thing we see is that Jesus did what Jesus does. He's loving Zacchaeus unconditionally. Did Jesus know that he was a man with a bad reputation? That he was a tax collector? That he cheated people? He was not a good guy? Jesus knew that. And that's probably why he chose him. He said, okay, let me see. You know, because he's got Jesus' eyes, and you know, he can look out there and see all those people. And he knows what they all do, what they're all thinking. And he says, that's the guy that's ready. He's ready. I'm going to engage him today. See, we can know that about people. when we start having conversation with them, when we start engaging them, we can find that out. They're ready. Have you ever tried to witness to somebody and actually sit down and share the gospel with somebody? And it doesn't take long into that conversation. You're going, well, they're not ready. You know, they've got all these questions and they want to argue everything that you're talking about. And you're trying to share with them who Jesus is. And you know, everything, they just wall. But then there's others where you just begin talking to them. And it's like, tell me more. I want to know more. See, they were ready. They were already curious before you even had that conversation. So do you love people where they are? Is the question there. Not where you are, or where you expect them to be, but where they are, on their turf. Bob Goff again says this in Love Does. He says, what I've found, though, is when we're looking for a plan, God often sends us a person. Have you noticed that? I found that to be true in life. I may have this idea, this is where I'm going, this is what I'm thinking about doing, and I create this plan of my own. Just like Zacchaeus, well, I want to go see Jesus, so I'm going to sneak behind the crowd, I'm going to climb the tree, I'm going to get a glimpse of him. He had his plan. But then Jesus shows up and engages him. See, out of Zacchaeus' desire to see Jesus, he got to spend time with him. His life was changed forever because of that encounter. Because God sent Zacchaeus a person. The person was Jesus Christ. Changed his whole world. You know, this week Joy shared a story with me that fit perfect. Those of you who don't know who Joy is, Joy's our children's pastor. She had somebody last week that came up to her, engaged her like a Zacchaeus and said, you know, I just want to get to know you better. I want to have coffee with you. Now did Joy say, okay, well, let me go check my calendar, see if I have time to fit you in. See, that was my question to Joy. She's telling the story. Well, are you going to call her back and, you know, set up an appointment and try to work her in this week? She goes, no, I already did. We're set for Tuesday, 9 o'clock. Well, sure you are. You're Joy. You know, so sure you. I've already done that. But see, that's a perfect picture right here that happened in this building of what we're talking about. Engage people where they are right then. Talk to them. Find out more about them. They're friends now. They're going to do it again. They like each other and they like coffee. So why not get together? Zacchaeus' life was changed forever. Why? Because Jesus saw him. He spoke to him. He called him by name. He stepped into his world, and then he did what Jesus does. He loves him. And see, because we're followers of Christ, we can do the same thing. Right here in your section, right in your places of employment, or your places of recreation, your neighborhoods, do the same thing. See, the principles hold true. You got to notice people first. You can't walk through your life with blinders, okay? There's where I'm going. There's lots happening around you. That's why I used the word a while ago, keep your head on a swivel. So you see what's going on around you. You notice people. Here's some application for us as we leave this morning. Notice people around you that you don't know. Our tendency as Christians, as church members, as believers, we have wonderful fellowship with those who we already know. I mean, if I was able to do a time-lapse video and kind of follow people throughout the building today, you would be hanging out with people you know. That's our tendency. That's what we do. There's nothing wrong with that. But also be noticing. I don't know who that is. I don't know who they are. Maybe they would be excited about having coffee with me, or checking out my life group. How can you engage them? Initiate conversation with them. Not just, good morning, let's turn back and watch Jim and the worship team. Engage them. Repeat and remember their name and call them by it. Do better than I do. Listen for a way to step into their world like I did with Adam. It's tough sledding there for a few minutes. But then baseball was the open door to have conversation with him. In the near future, we're going to get real personal here at the Heights Fellowship. In the near future, we're going to be asking some of you guys in section 1, in section 2, section 3, section 4, to kind of be a team leader, captain, a noticer. I don't know what we're going to call it yet. In your sections. So that you can engage those people. While the others are trying to get there, you're going to be the person. Your goal when you walk into this auditorium and sit down is going to be, I'm going to find out who I don't know. And start introducing myself and engaging them in conversation. You know, and you can't do that in the 30 seconds to a minute that we give you to do that. So, get here earlier, plan to stay longer to engage people. Very practical, don't you think? You know, service starts at 9:30 for you guys. Don't walk in at 9:28 and a half. You can't engage people that way. Come in at 9:20. You got 10 minutes to have conversation. And I know a lot of you, you like to talk. It's going to take 10 minutes. And for those of you who can say all you want to say in 30 seconds, you've got more time to build up courage to go introduce yourself to somebody. It works both ways. So there's your challenge. I want you guys to make it personal this week. Somebody, I want everybody in here, we'll take a poll next week, we'll pass it out in the notes, and you have to tell them who your new person is. Probably won't do that, but it sure sounds good. And then you have to turn it in, and we'll see if you really met somebody. And we'll have 12 people here next week. Knowing I'm going to give a test. But this week, I hope you've been challenged. Make it personal. Engage people. Because what we've found through the years in church work is that people will want to be a part of the Heights Fellowship if they feel a part of the Heights Fellowship. They have a place to connect. They have a place to belong. They'll stay here. They won't just pass through because they were engaged with somebody when they were here. Let me pray. We're almost done. God, we thank you for this little story that most of us learned as a child in VBS or Sunday school or someplace about this wee little man. But God, let us as adults, as mature followers of Christ, understand what we need to get from this story. It's not just a kid's story. It's a story that should challenge us to make it personal with people, to engage them, to talk to them, to step into their world, whatever we need to do to get to know them like Jesus did. We could have pulled out several different examples of Jesus engaging people he doesn't know, but this one is just so clear of how we can do that, and we thank you for giving it to us. And God, I just pray for each one of us here that we are challenged by this little story of how you did it, and we can model that. And just maybe, lives will be changed because of that. We thank you for what you did in Zacchaeus' life. And it's your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We believe in the power of the Word of God. If you made a decision, we would love to hear from you. As well, if you have any questions, let us know at the email listed at the bottom of the screen. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a good day.